still kung fu kick you in the dick. Old man Wade ain't nothing to fuck with. Old man Wade might stomp a cunt quick. Don't call old man Wade a punk bitch, cause he'll kung fu kick you in the dick.
Congratulations, old man Wade, for you were victorious by way of swift kick to the dick.
And welcome to the Old Man Wade Show. I am your host, the God of Stubborn, the Lord of Laughter, Old Man Wade, and I'm sitting here on my lovely life with her normal enthusiasm as always. And across the pond, actually on video, the pinnacle of political perfection, the superior Super Bowl Garvey.
You know they say video kills the radio star.
Did it?
Mm-hmm. That's a song, right?
Yes.
I don't know. Who said
video killed the radio star? Hey.
It's an old, like, 80s song.
I've never heard this song before, ever.
Are you crazy? Like, we're, like, the last vestige of the MTV generation. You need to know that song.
No, I don't. I do not need to know that.
I like that shirt, old man.
Thank you. Got it from my homeboy's website.
Oh, yeah?
You know Matt. Matt Joro?
Yeah, I do. Oh, what's the website? Gemmed.
Gemfirefly.com.
GEMMEDFIREFLY.
Gemfirefly.com. Got my red shirt that says, with Magneto's helm in the middle, says, humanity disgusts me.
Wait, did his check didn't bounce for this promo, did it?
Yeah, sure. It bounced. I didn't get the money for it.
Oh, shit. See how people treat you?
I have no idea what you're talking about, sir.
All right, it's messed up, man. I quit.
Huh?
I quit because you're not sharing any of the internet money.
You can't quit because it's not really a job.
It's a job that we both pay.
Yeah.
It's a job we pay to have.
For real.
So, have you ever, like, just so people can know, like, you know, this is really like a labor of love. Like, I didn't really think about it because I'm afraid to, but have you ever just sat back and thought about, like, how much money you've put into this?
Every fucking day.
Yeah.
Literally every day. It's not something that doesn't cross my mind. I think about it literally every fucking day.
And strangely, on my part, like, I don't mind it. Like, I'm usually like a cheap bastard, but I don't know.
I don't know how I feel about it. I don't, like, perseverate over it or anything like that. I'm not like, oh my god! Like, I'm like, it's just kind of like, oh, alright. It's, you know.
What was that word that you just used?
Perseverate,
which is interesting. It's not a word that I'm familiar with. And it's usually the other way around. Like, I usually use, like, these $15 words which aren't necessary, and then you pull out the Google search and add it to your dictionary. That's something I'm probably going to have to add to my dictionary.
Perseverate?
Once I learn how to spell it.
Perseverate. Repeat or prolong an action, thought, or utterance after the stimulus that prompted it has ceased.
Oh, yeah, I knew what that meant. Yeah.
Like I get the Google notifications that something's come out from Podbean or SoundCloud. I'm like, ugh.
Ugh. I don't even pay attention to it.
Only reason I know is because I see it. But otherwise, like, I'm not. It's not. It's a drop in the bucket. It's not that serious. Like, you know what I mean? It's like a little bit every week, and so it's just like I sacrifice buying a few comic books that I don't really need anyway, so.
With that said, you know, tell your friends about the Old Man Wade Show, and also go to oldmanwade.com, because that motherfucker costs money, too.
Yo, and please rate, if you're listening to this on an app that'll allow you, or a platform that'll allow you to 5-star, or 4-star, or even 1-star, do so. Like, leave a review. Hit share. Hit the heart button if it's on SoundCloud.
Mm-hmm. All right, old man, so, you know, what are we talking about today?
All right, where do you want to start? Let's see. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Oh, yeah. I have been dying to talk about this for a while. Super Bowl.
Yo.
Do you know what Yelp is?
I'm not sure, but if I did use it, I would probably give it 5 stars.
So, I may or may not have been at my my place of employment, and we were bored. Uh-huh. It was a really slow night, so all my coworkers was on Yelp, and we noticed, we started looking at this. Have either one of you heard about the restaurant where it's like completely pitch black, and it's supposed to like heighten your like taste buds while you're eating?
It heightens your other senses, yes.
Yeah. So we were talking about how like creepy it looks, like, you know what I mean. And so we started reading like the website and the website.
Wait. So there's a restaurant.
You eat in the dark.
Oh, I couldn't do that.
Yeah, it's way too creepy.
And I need like all the lights on when I eat.
Yeah, and we were talking about we were making jokes about how some of the reviews must read food was good, but I don't know why they needed to put a finger in my butthole while I was eating my chicken fingers.
Because your senses are heightened. You know?
So it was just, so we were talking about shit like that. But so then that led us to see what the Yelp reviews were, and then we noticed that the Yelp reviews kind of seemed like one person wrote them because it was a lot of the same adjectives, a lot of the same sentence structure. And it wasn't just, it seemed kind of suspect. And that led us to other Yelp reviews. I remember on the show, listening to the Whiskey Brothers, they read a Yelp review. Wow, Scooby doing over here. Yelp review. A Yelp review on a strip club. And so I thought maybe this is just like, you know, like a southern thing because, you know, the strip clubs aren't really like popping up here, but they're definitely popping in the South.
I mean, not the strip clubs we would like. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's some pretty boring ones around here.
Oh, no, there definitely is a lot of boring ones, but...
So, we decided to go on in. I thought it would be fun to read some of the Yelp reviews from strip clubs around here. I have to say, I haven't been to blank for over 15 years. So, my favorite porn star came here to cover dance, Annabelle Peaks. So I was all in and got there early to see your set. I was with two other guys where we had a nice corner of the stage. Miss Peaks killed it on her first set and we really laid it down for her. Made it rain on her every time she came by. So she finished her set and was signing for fans. So I met another fan named Chris. I went over to his table to talk to him. Basically came back to my seat and my jacket was gone. Some dickhead manager with glasses took my jacket without permission and moved people into my seat. So I basically told him, you're a fucking idiot to do that to our top fan in attendance. And you got a lot to learn about strip clubs. And now you can go watch my $300 more walk out the door with me. The club wasn't prepared for her fan base. I personally wrote Miss Peaks about the matter here and her reply was to stellar management replied to the stellar management decision. I'm trying to find the... Oh, yeah. Oh, here we go. 1 star. Do not waste your money or time at this place. You regret wasting your trip going there, especially for a bachelor's night or a birthday party. The staff is terrible. The employees... one person named Matt... Oh, wow. This is a really terrible written sentence. Matt doesn't care that you are there to spend your hard-earned money having a good time, and if you have too much fun, you get thrown out for no reason.
What's too much fun, though, right?
Exactly, like, exactly.
What's too much fun that Matt has to stop you, dick face?
Now, why are you worried about Matt at a strip club?
Because he was getting handsy, and Matt probably got handsy with him.
Yeah.
Oh!
That's usually what happens.
Should've gave Matt a tip.
For some reason, men go to strip clubs. Like, not all, obviously. I've been with a lot of men's strip clubs. But some men go and think they can grope and be dirty and sleazy and nasty. Like, because women that strip aren't, like, you know, real humans to them. But I imagine that this asshole is probably one of those.
See, I'm not a fan of strip clubs, man.
Strip clubs are fun.
Yeah. I get it, but I don't get it.
It's the same. It's essentially become just like a 1-year experience that I go. It's a bar with, for me. It's a bar with women having their titties out.
See, the titties out is distracting.
Yeah.
Like I don't, you know, if I see titties, I want to like.
I go for the dancing.
I'm not gonna do it because I'm not a creep. But if I see titties in my face, in like real life, I'm going to want to touch them. Like, I don't know.
Does that make me a monster? No, but the strip club we go to in Rhode Island, which their Yelp review is hilarious. You are allowed to touch.
Yeah, no, they. I was surprised that they were very touch friendly there.
Yeah. So, 1 star, horrible. Girls are average, more than basic. Poor quality of entertainment. Do not waste your money, in all caps. Not worth a penny. Just sad and disappointing. If this place was given a good rating, it's because those people are drunk. I've seen better. I believe this place needs to be upgraded in every way. On top of the drinks are a ripoff. Expensive with cheap taste. Come on, do better.
These people are very, what's the word?
Entitled?
Very entitled when it comes, like, it's a strip club. Like,
I know.
Is it a stereotype of strip clubs? Is that the floors are sticky and you're kind of shady? You probably shouldn't leave your jacket just laying around. Like
yo, who leaves that story was who wild. Leaves their jacket laid out anywhere?
What's up?
Who leaves their jacket just randomly anywhere, anyway, like, around people? That just seems like a dumb thing to do.
Yeah, especially at a strip club.
Yeah, I got nothing. This seems like a really stupid thing for someone to do, but whatever.
I'm trying to picture the type of person that would Yelp review a strip club. Like, what does this person look like?
Well, we have another one from Carlos L. Worst strip
they
club...
They definitely wear Crocs outside.
Uh-huh.
They definitely wear Crocs outside.
Like American flag Crocs.
Yeah.
Worst strip club in Massachusetts. Seriously, do yourself a favor and choose another club. I've been here more than a couple of times, so what you're about to read isn't a one-time bad experience. Okay, so I gotta give this person their props. Dave's like, okay, maybe it was just a bad night, and, you know, shit happens. First off, I don't get how anyone... Never mind, that's not here. The bouncers make it really uncomfortable. They stand over you, stare, and lie. I asked the bouncer at the door if it was okay to smoke a cigarette at my car. Too cold outside. He told me it was cool. When I tried to re-enter, the same guy told me I had to pay the entrance fee because, again, I left the premises. I couldn't believe it, and I couldn't even talk to the manager. On a slow night, it took 20 minutes to get a beer. One beer. It don't even let you order at the bar because they deliver it to you. I normally don't write reviews, but I had the worst experience at Club Blank, and nobody should have to pay good money to be treated like an asshole if you're not acting like one. Even if you give this horrible excuse for a club the benefit of doubt, be sure to bring a lot of money and patience. Beware the bouncers are scumbags. So I'm looking at these price ranges. This is a average strip club. Like, $15 entrance fee, $9 for a beer, $10 to $18 for a small drink, mostly ice. Yeah, $10 ATM fee, $15 for a massage, $20 for a lap dance, $150 to $175 for a private show. Might be cheaper if you play your cards right. 2 drink minimum. That's all standard strip club shit.
And maybe the bouncers are following him because he looks like the kind of creep that would Yelp review a strip club.
Yeah. Yeah.
If he had a problem with the strip club the first 2 times he went, why did he go again? Like, I don't... Whatever. He's a weirdo, bro.
Well, yeah, but... You know what I mean? Like, it's... Yeah, it is what it is. So
Are you these Yelp reviewers?
No, I don't give a flying fuck enough to do any of these goddamn reviews. Like,
you know what, though? It sounds like it's, like, the younger generation, right? Where they feel like they should get free titties for nothing. Because they deserve them.
It sounds like young kids.
Like,
it's possible for you, you know, take a shower... Brush your teeth. Don't be weird. And eventually, if you're lucky, somebody might show you their titties. No, it's just me.
Don't be weird.
I mean, yeah, don't be weird.
Stop Yelp reviewing strip clubs.
It's like, don't be weird and you'll get titties.
Yeah, I mean, you might not. Like, nobody owes you titties for just not being weird, but I mean.
No, that's what I said, might. You might get some titties.
Yeah. Right. Well, I don't know, man. I can't relate to these people, old man.
So one person, I'm in this other strip club in Vegas. Someone told me to check it out. They said it's a great strip club, one of the best in the country. It's in Vegas. I'm not gonna say the name because they ain't paying us. This person gave it 1 star. Beats, robs, and drugs his female staff. Should be investigated by feds. They have deleted two of my reviews and had pictures of my assault by their management team. Stay away from this place. They are dangerous and should have their liquor license revoked. The page is also rigged to delete real experiences.
Well, one, you probably should call the police and not do a Yelp review. And two, that sounds like a Vegas strip club to me.
It also sounded like a disgruntled employee versus a an actual Yelper.
Got you. He was like the house DJ and they never like, they didn't pay him or something, or I don't know. His girlfriend was a stripper and
oh, she God. Ended
up falling in love with a bouncer, and it's a story that's old as time itself. Of love and hurt and lost.
Strip Club and the Beast?
Yeah, that's the next Disney movie.
Oh.
Strip Club and the Beast.
It's part of Disney Plus's adult section.
No, they need an adult section of like Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are they gonna do? Like Disney, their acquisition, they got like I think they got like Alien. They got a couple of like rated R. They got a lot of rated R properties. I wonder.
Well, I know with Aliens and Predator, they're gonna be invading Marvel comic books. So there's that.
But are they going to put those movies on Disney Plus?
I'm 100% sure those movies end up on Disney Plus. There's no way they're not.
Interesting.
So let's move on.
Are they next strippers on Disney Plus?
Let's move on to a couple of topics that I couldn't wait to talk to with Javi. So Trump walks out of 60 Minutes.
Yeah, that interview was ridiculous.
So I heard some of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm listening to that, and I love that he walked out when he said he was immediately like asked harder questions, because the first question was, are you prepared for tough questions?
Yeah.
And then fuck nuts goes, you didn't ask Joe Biden these questions, and the woman goes, I didn't interview Joe Biden.
Yeah. Well, so the person that did the interview, Leslie Stahl, like, she's a legit journalist. Like, you don't go to 60 Minutes isn't Fox News. Nope. It isn't CNN. Like, they literally do legit journalism.
Yeah.
And it's funny because anytime there was a meme about it with that one journalist that challenged him on his COVID numbers, and there were memes all over the place with like the guy's perplexed face when Trump gives him the bullshit answers he usually tries to give people, and it works, like on Fox News and shit.
Yeah.
That's essentially what that interview was. And it was interesting because she didn't really say much.
At all.
Right? It was just Trump tells a lie, and she was nice about it. She was like, oh, you don't believe that, do you? And then you could just see it just frustrating him more and more, because what he's used to is being able to tell a lot, telling so many lies and half truths that the person who's interviewing him, even if they have the best intentions, they don't really have the time to fact check him, right? But she was literally fact checking him as they were speaking, or just not falling for the bullshit. And it was like a little kid having a temper tantrum, and he just walked out. She challenged him on his healthcare plan, because like 3 years ago he said he would have a healthcare plan available to people in 2 weeks.
Which, hold on, can we comment on that? There is no way in hell he was going to have a healthcare plan in position in 2 weeks.
Well, that's an interesting story. We can get into that. But at the end of the interview, like after he walks away, his press secretary comes and hands Leslie Stahl like this freaking 800 page binder. It was like, here's a health plan. And they, like, I guess they, it was so big they didn't think they would read it, but they ended up reading it and releasing it. And it was literally nothing. It was nothing even close to a health plan in that, you know, tome, that 1,000-chapter tome that she handed her. It was literally nothing. It was funny.
Was it just like,
that's the best thing I could do.
Did he actually just write a healthcare and then make the font like 800 so it spread over like 800 pages?
Like when you're trying to get like when you know you don't have enough content for the paper that's due, and you just do like triple space, extra large font, triple space,
Yeah. But he didn't even like triple spaces. Like, it was like the H took like 100 pages, the E took like 20 pages.
It was like if 20 pages of it was the Gettysburg Address, just copied multiple times.
Yeah, do they, like, this is fucking 60 minutes, man. Like, they can literally just pay an intern, like, they can pay someone to go, hey, you have a week to read this.
That
that's your job.
They're gonna read it, and I think that was the funniest part about it. And what stood out to me was that a lot of the criticism that Obama got for the ACA, aka Obamacare, was that it was too big and complicated. I don't know if you guys remember, but like you would have like Republican Congress people on the news saying like, we just want a plan that could fit on one piece of paper, blah, blah, blah. Like, that was one of the criticisms.
That's impossible anyway.
It's absolutely impossible.
Yeah, and...
unless it's a scroll.
Yeah. So, what's funny, here's a funny part about this whole situation. Just to, you know, be political a little bit, Super Bowl, but part of the problem, the reason why he hasn't been able to, you know, publicly announce a plan is because the plan is Obamacare.
Yep.
People forget that Obamacare was a Republican plan. Obama saw it and was like, oh, this is actually a good plan, right? Because anything else would be too expensive for the traditional Republican talking points to kind of accept it, right? Or it would be just a status quo. There would be no affordable healthcare plan. I think Mitt Romney was one of the architects of what became ACA. We called it Romney Care in Massachusetts, which is interesting. And so it's crazy because the only reason why they can't release the plan is because they can't admit that the plan that they demonized for years was actually a Republican plan. And it's really the only viable plan that they can come up with that won't go totally against their traditional ideology when it comes to healthcare. So it's crazy. It's really just an ego trip. There's a video, a Key and Peele video, with Obama. Obama, when he, like, I think it was early on in his presidency, and he's talking to a group of Republican congressmen. And he's saying a bunch of, like, he's saying, like, oh, I believe everybody should get a gun, even if they have mental illness, right? And then the Republicans are like, no, we think there should be strong gun laws, and people without mental illness should be, people with mental illness should not be allowed to have a gun, right?
Which is the so dumbest he kept on saying thing in the things world.
That they normally wanted, that they should, right? Buy. Because they, but since they hated him so much, it forced them into giving him what they wanted. And it's crazy because that's a skit on Key and Peele. But it's literally what's happening with the with healthcare right now.
Well, that's again, like, we live in Massachusetts, and Romney Care is essentially just, you know, Obamacare. So
it is.
So yeah. We heard about it. We kind of all just laughed. We're like, okay. Mm-hmm. And it was just,
yeah, we were hit to it because we were living with it for years before Obama even announced the ACA. We've had the ACA in the state, and for the most part, people are mostly happy with it.
Yeah. Like, no, nothing. Like, nothing's gonna be perfect and all that. But it's just hilarious that, like, it, the Republicans were like, "We don't want it." Like, and da da da. I'm like, motherfucker, you like, it was something you had.
Yeah, it was actually created by like a extremely conservative. It came from a pretty conservative think tank. I think it was a Heritage Foundation. Like, they're super conservative Republican. And this was their idea. Obamacare was. I mean, there was some adjustment, obviously, but Obamacare came in trying to like bridge the gap between the two parties, and ACA is a centerpiece of that. And it's crazy that their hatred for him and everything he stood for prevented them from even supporting shit that they wanted. That's nuts, bro.
So do you think if Romney would have gotten office, they would have accepted Romney Care?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I think Democrats would have I think liberals would have criticized it for not going far enough. And I think a lot of people on the left did criticize Obamacare for not going far enough as far as like removing insurance companies from the scenario, or having like a truly free public option, which it didn't have. So those criticisms might have been more, they probably would have been a lot more vocal with those criticisms if Romney was in office. But I think Democrats, for the most part, tend to be more willing to work with Republicans. They're not perfect, right?
Yeah.
They also have their own ego, but they do have, they're more willing to work with the other side than the other side is to work with them. I mean, like, the argument that Republicans had against the ACA was just ridiculous. Like, and I'm not saying this out of any bias that I have against them. It made no sense.
So, and I know the answer to this question, but fuck it, I'll ask it anyway. Did we learn anything from this Trump 60 Minutes thing?
Oh, no. Not at all.
So, why would his people set him up to do this? Because, I look at this and I go, is there any way on God's green earth that this sounds like a good idea?
Well, I think Trump is still playing the same game he played in 2016, right? And he's in the echo chamber. Like, so there's two things at play. One is he's losing in the polls fairly consistently.
Well, he was, but to that, he same thing happened 4 years ago.
Yes. But at this point, there were a lot of chinks in Hillary's armor, and it became clearer and clearer as we got closer to the election that Trump had a definite path to victory. Yeah. Biden's lead is a lot larger, and it's been a lot more consistent than Hillary's. And a lot of the polling is being focused on a lot of these battleground states that lost, that Hillary ended up losing, which cost her the election. So I understand when people say, like, yeah, well, Hillary was also also leading in the polls at this time. True, but if you look at the numbers, they tell a different story. So that's one thing. So he's definitely feeling the pressure from there. It definitely doesn't mean that Biden's a lock, right?
Yeah.
These are just chances of winning versus who's going to win. And then and two is just, you know, he thinks that he can say whatever he wants. He could lie, and people aren't going to have the time to really check him on it as he's saying it. So he can say whatever he wants. The interview happens. He gets all these talking points that he'll be able to use in an advertisement. Eventually, they'll fact check him. But it'll be too late at that point, right?
Yeah.
But what's happening now is that people, good journalists, they figured out how to play his game. And they're not really giving him the space to do what he did in 2016. I hope that makes sense.
It does. And I'm going to say this, and I know my wife's going to look at me when I say this. Do you think Biden's going to win the swing states by cutting the cameras off and go, look, I hate niggers too?
Seriously? You gotta do what you gotta do, bro. If that's what you gotta do, just make sure there's no camera phones in the room. Get her done, Biden.
I'm sitting here trying not
that's
to.
So wrong.
I'm sitting here trying not to laugh as I say it. But fucking, I had to.
Nah, and honestly, like, that's joking, but it does bother me. And I know this is not what you meant in particular, right? But a lot of people, like, this whole lesser to evil thing.
I meant exactly what I said. Yeah. I'm not backtracking. Well, I meant exactly what I said.
I mean, but I'll say, like, this whole lesser of two evils.
That's every election, ever.
It is, and that's what I'm saying. And it is like, but it gets to the extreme where people are like, yo, Biden's a racist, and he's a rapist, and he's all this other stuff. And I'm like, I mean, maybe, but where are you getting that from? What did he say
what?
That makes you feel that way? Other than he's an old white dude.
Well, there was a comment that if you don't vote for me, you're not really black.
I mean, sounds to me like he was in a lot of conversations with black people. Because, I mean, we'll let y'all know. I know we have a lot of white viewers, but there's a lot of black people that say that shit.
All right, so you know what? That's sad. I couldn't wait to have this conversation because I know my lovely life is gonna have some comments on the things you're gonna say. But speaking of black people who root for Donald Trump, Valkyrie.
Fuck Kanye West. Fucking baiting ass coon. I'm good.
You talking about Yeezys?
Baiting ass coon. They got themselves a puppet. They're like, let's entice the people. For Kanye West.
My feelings on Kanye are complicated.
If you waste your vote on Kanye West, I swear to holy Jesus. Like, what? Who does that?
I mean, I feel like the people that would vote for Kanye West aren't people that normally vote anyways. And I think that, I understand where it comes from, but I think it's kind of misguided when people are like, yo, Kanye's going to split the black vote. And I'm like, yo, black people aren't that stupid. And to be honest with you, I think Kanye has more white fans than black fans at this point. You know what I mean? Like,
I think Kanye has more.
Does Kanye still have fans?
Kanye,
for sure. He just put out a track. I think last week that's number one on at least Tidal.
That song is awful, by the way.
Yeah, but it's Kanye.
It is literally one of the worst tracks. Nah, 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 nah. Shut the fuck up, dude. But so Super Bowl calls Kanye a genius. Originally, when he posted this, I thought he was trolling. But you know, rather than just reading the first couple of sentences, I decided to read the actual post. And as Javi tends to do, made a good point. I will be the first to admit.
I love you too, man.
You can go fuck yourself. Kanye is a genius. The underestimation of his mind is a symptom of his own cluttered thought process. His fearless attempts to tackle problems clearly outside of his scope of expertise, and our ingrained biases, however you want to call it. But the more he speaks about the presidential run, the more I'm convinced that his genius alone isn't enough. Being good/great at many things doesn't automatically mean you can succeed at everything. Kanye is smart enough to see the systems that make up society, and he is innovative enough to be to devise some interesting solutions. But he has work to do when it comes to truly understanding why why they exist and why they persist. The volumes of success have delved into the type of, in parentheses, well-deserved ego that blinded him from most of the perspectives that don't align with his own, and that, among other reasons, is why I think his attempt to run for president is misguided.
I don't know who wrote that, but man, that dude sounds smart as fuck.
That was you, and
okay.
It's funny how you baited everybody in with the Kanye West is a genius, and then proceeded to not really shit on him, but then criticize everything that he's done. By still, it was a bunch of like backhanded compliments and a kick in the ass. And as I'm reading this, and I'm like, oh god! And I know the comments; all they saw was Kanye West is a genius. Yo, and so I decided to read the comments, and I decided to go in and I'm just like, you know what?
Why?
Yeah, I with the people on your page. I can't read the comments. Reading the comment section on your statuses.
Makes my head hurt.
For real. Like, I can't.
Like, some of them are just like, what? Like, there's a lot of big reaches going on your comments sometimes.
Yeah, it's like Mr. Fantastic level.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
No, I mean, what motivated that, a friend of mine, who I love dearly, he texts me, and he's like, yo, he's really young. And he was like, yo, I just listened to Kanye's Joe Rogan interview.
Fuck Joe Rogan.
I'm sorry, man. Huh?
Fuck Joe Rogan.
Yeah. Another person that I have complicated feelings for. And he's like, I just listened to the Joe Rogan interview with Kanye, and man, I'm sorry, but I'm voting for Kanye. And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. First, I told him, like, don't be sorry. I mean, I'm sure you have your reasons, but... So, he was like, listen to it so we can have a conversation. And like me, I like to get into conversations fully informed. So I listened to the whole 3-hour interview.
Ew.
You have time like that? Good for you, man.
You didn't it took me 3 days.
Like, that comment came from like the first 1/3 of the interview, because I've heard Kanye speak a lot, so I kind of knew where it was going. But it literally took me 3 days to finish that whole interview, to be honest with you. I had to listen to it in pieces, because Kanye rambles a lot. It's like the stream of consciousness, and I appreciate Joe Rogan's interview style, because I think it was perfect for Kanye. He kind of let him do his thing. And what stood out to me was that, like, he definitely understands that the world is complex, and there are lots of different systems that make up society, right? But it was also clear to me that he doesn't fully understand
anything,
those systems. No, I can't say that. I can't say he doesn't understand anything, right? Like, what he's good at, he's great at, right? But he also believes that since he's, you know, I think he's a genius, right? The way I define it. But I think with Kanye, he thinks that, yo, I'm good. I made, you know, Adidas a multi-billion dollar company off of my ability to, like, create a brand, or, you know, like, I innovated music and all this other stuff, right? But it's almost like he separates all the help he's gotten over the years from that success. And he thinks that, yo, I did this. And so since I did that, I think that I'll make a good president because of my past successes. And listening to how cluttered he is, and the fact that he even said, like, if something bores me, I'm not going to listen to it. Like, motherfucker, like, there's a lot of boring shit that you need to listen to. And it's clear that he really does think like that, because he's missing so many key components to... He's missing so much information. Right, like,
and is my problem. Yeah. That is my problem right there. He's missing key information on things. I had this conversation with my wife, I want to say a couple days ago, and I think we were talking about Kanye West. And I brought up how him talking about politics and the path black people need to take is like me telling a doctor what he needs to do during surgery. It's like, Doug, you don't know what you're talking about, and the things you're saying continue to be harmful.
Yeah.
Yeah. He made Adidas $1 billion. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yes, he sold millions of records, and it is one of the richest people in the one of the richest performers in the country.
Mm-hmm.
But again, fuck him, because the shit he says is completely harmful. And him going on Joe Rogan, really all it did was probably just get more white people to vote for him. I really think that he took white votes away from Biden, which I think is fucking dangerous. The things he says are toxic. The things he does can be even worse. And he's among the many people I wish would just fucking disappear. Because it's dangerous. Like, some people, when they have platforms, don't understand that, and I know you'll have something to say when I say this, there is a responsibility to the things that you say and do. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't go on here and talk about women's rights without a woman in here, unless I'm just begging them up. Because it's not, that's not my place to say what they should and shouldn't do, because I'm not a fucking woman. It's their body. Do what the fuck you want. Like, you know what I mean? It's...
I mean, our brains are bigger, so...
Oh, God. So... I just can't really... Every time he opens his fucking mouth, it just reminds me that, like, he's not gonna change. Like, he's honestly gonna get worse. He's gonna progressively get worse. The interview he did with Joe Rogan wasn't, and it's like, I can't even listen to either one of them, because, like, I used to be a fan of Joe Rogan's, like, stand-up, but the more I hear about, more I hear him, and the more I listen to him, it just makes me angry and frustrated. He had Bill Burr on, and he had this whole thing about how, like, you know, wearing a mask. And then Bill Burr just cut him off. Was like, I'm not doing this. I'm not having this conversation with you. He go, and Bill Burr goes, drink water, wear your mask, and do what the fucking scientists tell you to do. They're the smart ones. Just listen to what they're talking about. Like, he wasn't even hearing it. I'm like, good. Like Joe Rogan seems like the type of person who started off being a person of the people, and then got some popularity and started smelling his own farts.
You think so? I mean, I hear that a lot. And I hate being in a position where I'm defending Joe Rogan. I hate being in a position where I'm defending anybody that's making millions of dollars and they're okay. And this isn't... I don't give a shit. I really don't give a fuck, to be honest with you. But I will speak to my own experiences listening to him. Like, I rarely agree with his personal takes on things. But I never understand... Like, I don't... Like, I disagree with him, but it's hard for me to see him as, like, some dangerous person, because, like, he literally has conversations with everybody. Like, I'm not surprised he had somebody like Bill Burr who disagreed with him, and I'm pretty sure even after that, they probably had a good conversation, because, like, he literally talks to everybody.
Just because you're having conversations with everyone doesn't necessarily mean that it's a good conversation with everyone. Like, Trump has had conversations with multiple people. That doesn't mean that the conversations mean or did anything. It just means that he had conversations with multiple people. Joe Rogan isn't, like, he's among one of those people that's just like, cool, good for you. You went from doing news radio on Fox 25, the comedy show, to having this multi-million-dollar platform. That's all fine and well. But when you're starting to say, like, homophobic and transphobic things, and then going, oh, well, I can say that because I'm just trying to have a conversation. No, you're not. That's like a white person saying, I should be able to say nigger all I want because it's just a fucking word, nigger. And it's just like, oh, I'm just trying to have a conversation. No, it's not. That's not that.
Like, well, you know, I think that's key to understanding, I guess, what our differences in this. Like, I think white people shouldn't be allowed to say nigger, right?
Yeah, you are definitely on your own there.
As long as they understand that if they say that in front of me, they're getting punched in the face.
Well, here's the thing. Right? Like, here's the thing. They have the right to say it. They have the freedom of speech. But I think people misunderstand what freedom of speech actually means. You are free to say whatever you want. But there are repercussions to all that. You can yell fire in a crowded building, but that's illegal. There will be ramifications for the things that you do.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I think there should be ramifications. Like, I'm not this type of person. Like, when people be like, "Oh, I hate Facebook because they banned Joe Rogan," I'm like, "What? No, Facebook can ban whoever the fuck they want. Freedom of speech doesn't apply to a private institution like that, right? Like, that's what I'm not against that. I think that I honestly see some of myself in people like Joe Rogan, only because I love having conversations with people I disagree with.
But I think the difference is between you having a conversation with someone that you disagree with as opposed to someone like Joe Rogan. Like, how often did, I don't know this, so maybe you can answer the question. How often did he check Alex Jones for the really fucked up things that he said and why he was banned from all media? They, like, you.
I actually just watched that interview, and funny, two things stood out. it was a lot more coherent than his interview with Kanye, which is crazy. Like, compared to Kanye, Alex Jones actually sounds sane. Which is nuts, because he doesn't sound sane at all.
Yeah.
What stood out to me during that interview, like, Joe Rogan was literally, for most of that interview, like, trying to rein him in. Like, yo, this is why you get canceled. Like literally, like, every single time Alex Jones said something, right, that was, like, off, Joe Rogan would be like, all right, we need to fact check that. And they would fact check it right there, like, pull up, like, the internet search or something. Like, it was interesting. I could tell that they're friends, but I could also tell that they have the type of relationship where Joe Rogan's very comfortable in checking Alex Jones on his bullshit. Like, he said something like, yo, he was like, the problem with you, Alex, is that, you know, a lot of what you say is based on some truth, but you ramble and you keep going to the point where you say something crazy and it gets you in trouble. And of course, Alex Jones just kept on rambling, which was hilarious. So I think a lot of the criticism, and again, I don't care. Like, I still love you to death. I don't care if you don't like Joe Rogan. Like, that's not, like, again, I'm not trying to defend him. And he said a lot of things that I'm like, yo, that's crazy.
But I think that's the difference.
I also think a lot of the criticisms come from people who don't listen to him. Which, again, you don't have to. I don't care. But I think a lot of it comes from things that I hear people, the things that I hear people apply to him aren't really based on anything real, because I think a lot of people are so turned off by the things they may have heard or heard from other people that they just don't listen to, which is fine.
Well, but again, everything you said kind of puts me, kind of brings up the point about the difference between you interviewing someone like Kanye West or Umar Johnson or Alex Jones, where it's just like, you're not going to let someone off the hook. Like, we talk about things all the time, and when I say things that aren't true, you go, yeah, that's not true. And sometimes we joke, and then sometimes it's, like, serious, and I will sit and listen because, like, all right, let me actually be informed on something. Or if I have a question, I'll ask you, things like that. But, like, I think that's the biggest difference between you and Joe Rogan, or you and Kanye West, or you and, like, fucking Fuckboy 45. Like, there's a big difference, like, you know what I mean? But you're also not someone who's not gonna, like, listen, like my wife. She's not gonna, like, she's gonna ask questions if she doesn't know the answer to something, and she will sit and listen to the conversation as opposed to just, like, yelling and screaming and getting red in the face. Like, you know what I mean?
And vice versa. And I think I think a lot of it, criticism with somebody like Joe Rogan, comes from his fan base. Like, I think, like, there's not many groups of people that are worse than Joe Rogan fans. Like, I hear them talk sometimes, and I'm like, yo, these people are just the worst.
Well, it's what is it? Someone said it best. They called Joe Rogan Oprah for bros.
Yo, facts. Like, and it's crazy because Joe Rogan would say, like, yo, I don't know anything. Like, he'll literally, I don't want to say he reminds me of you sometimes, because you're definitely more, I think, empathetic than he is by a large margin. But you guys, both of you, are willing to admit, like, yo, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about in this particular subject, so I'm going to listen. And if there's anything I appreciate about Joe Rogan, it's that. That he definitely, like, the types of conversations he has with such a wide variety of people fascinates me. Because they're all fascinated by people. And, that's the end of me defending Joe Rogan, bro. Other than that, you know, I don't give a fuck.
that's pretty much it. And I was going to bring up the India love thing, but I don't really give a fuck. Wear a fucking mask. I don't give a fuck what your reasoning is. Put the mask over your fucking nose. Stop being a dickhead. And when you get COVID, like, you know what I mean? And that's the funny thing about it. The people who have been screaming the most about how COVID's a hoax and I don't need to wear my mask, I kind of giggle when they get it.
Like, I mean, I'm not gonna judge you because, you know, I think I do the same thing.
What?
Like when Herman Cain died of COVID, I was like, well, because like his tweet, like his last tweet before he died was like something about COVID being a hoax, and he was at like this Trump rally where nobody was wearing masks, and I'm just like, well, sometimes you got to learn lessons the hard way.
Yeah, and like, and it was, I'm actually trying to find, imagine trying to find his last tweet, because it was, his last tweet said, oh shit, now I can't find it. Of course, when I wanted to actually find it, now I can't find it, right? Oh, Herman Cain to speak to the audience grave on Twitter with a now deleted tweet claiming that the coronavirus is not as deadly as mainstream media has made it out to be. It's essentially that. Yeah, I can't find it. Whatever. But yeah, eBay...
COVID denials. I'm not surprised. Just because of my interactions with humanity, it's like, yo, when it comes to listening to the experts, I think this country has a recent history of, right, really not trusting the experts or being contrarian. Like if somebody tells you not to do something, I think I think there's gonna be a percentage of people, no matter what the issue is, that go like, no, I'm gonna do it anyways, right? Like it doesn't matter what it is.
But why are people afraid? And Valkyrie, I gotta ask you this question. You worked in the medical field for 20 plus years. Why is it now all of a sudden that people don't want to like listen to the experts?
Because we live in, it has nothing to do with necessarily the medical field or anything. It's technology, right? So we're so advanced now that people think they have all the answers because they Googled something, and everybody's a fucking got a degree now and understands pathology and spread of
disease. They watch the CSI degree they got from watching, Law and Order and shit.
Yeah, like, it's like, a lot of it is just that. Like, people think they know more than they do, and they don't. And they think that if they Google something, it's all-knowing and all-being, and that is the correct answer. When really, most of the time when you Google shit, it is not, unless you can verify it.
And then, even then, how can you actually verify that it's actually true, even with the link you're on?
You go to school for that. You literally have to learn how to research.
Exactly. Which is what most people don't understand. If you're not college educated, you don't get that either half of the time. Mm-hmm. Like how to appropriately research a topic. Like really research it so that you know that you have accurate information and you're not just bullshitting.
Oh, and fun fact for everyone, Wikipedia is not a viable
source. I mean, I can write whatever the fuck I want in Wikipedia. If people really think that Wikipedia is a viable thing, then they're fucking idiots.
We got a lot of idiots in the world.
And I think that speaks, and it's not to blame people. Like, you just had me defend Joe Rogan for the past 20 minutes. So I'm not, like, for me, I'm not blaming individuals per se. Like, yeah, it's fucked up that in order for you to be able to properly research a subject, you have to go through essentially a paywall. It's like when you're on Facebook, and you see an article in the headlines like, very important information, read this or you'll die, right? Like, and you click on it, and it's like, all right, you'll get this information, but you have to pay $50 for a subscription, right? Like, that's essentially what education is. Like, the fact that we have to pay to essentially, okay, all right, we live in a democracy for the most part. And we have to elect people based on the information we're given, right? And for a lot of people, it's a lot of information for them to dissect. And a lot of people think they know the truth, but they're not, they weren't given the tools that are necessary to really dissect that truth. So essentially, a lot of people are voting blindly, right? And it sucks that that's based on the fact that education is so expensive. And for a lot of people, just not very accessible. And so when Valkyrie says that, like, yo, it people think they know the truth because they're Google, they're Wikipedia, whatever, right? They're using Wikipedia. But Wikipedia, for the most part, is like the only really free source of information for a lot of people. It's not the most trustworthy, right? And people don't understand that you should probably go to the sources that people are using to write those Wikipedia pages. But it's hard to convey that message because people just don't have that education. It just, and I don't necessarily blame them for that. I see it as a weakness in the type of society we built, man, where like shit like it. I'm not smarter than anybody, I don't equate education with intelligence. Like, that's not what I do at all. Like, but I'll say my education in total cost was, I didn't pay this much at all, but in total was over $200,000. And that $200,000 literally just gave me the basic tools necessary to kind of understand the world around us a little bit better than most people, right?
Yeah,
but that costs $200,000. Who has that? Right, like.
Yeah.
Unless you're lucky, right? Like. It's I don't know. It's that's what concerns me. And before I get mad at people and say like, oh, fuck them, they're idiots, they're ignorant. It's that's what I think about the fact that and that's part of the reason why people don't trust the experts, man, because a lot of it. Isn't that it just goes over their heads, but a lot of it feels like they're being talked down to, right? And there's been plenty of times in history that we can point to where experts were wrong. There's a reason why they're wrong, because we always get new information. You know, we learn, we make mistakes. Science isn't perfect, it's just a tool. But again, that's also something that you have to be introduced to as a concept. So I understand it. I understand why there's ignorance out there, man.
Yeah.
Hope that makes sense.
It does. All right. This has been the Old Man Wade Show. It's the first time Javi's been on for a bit. First time I've actually recorded like this in a little bit. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, everyone, for being patient while we took some time off to recoup, recharge, and...
Yo, before you go, man, talk about recoup and recharge. Like, we definitely spent some time out in the wilderness, bro, and I feel great. It was nice. I definitely do feel recharged.
I want to do that. I want to have that whole conversation when your wife and my wife are like both here, so we can talk about the like everything that went down and all that. But yeah, man. Thank you for doing this, Javi. Don't forget to visit us at oldmanwade.com. Don't forget to visit the Old Man Wade Show page on Facebook. You can find me at oldmanwade.com on Twitter and Instagram. Don't forget to visit blackrabbit.com.
Blackrabbit.com.
BLAQUERABBIT for articles that I've written. I want to say shout out to Talar for coming on last week's episode and discussing everything that was really going on in Armenia. And really breaking down the history, not even just what's going on now, but the history and how it plays a part in everything that's going on currently.
I'm angry I missed that one. I'm so angry I missed that one.
But also, I want to shout out, because she will be writing for oldmanwade.com soon. Shout out to my wife for putting up my nonsense forever. Shout out to Javi for being supportive. And also, this is the 200th episode, which I kept forgetting to bring up.
Woo! Yeah, I'd like to thank God. I'd like to thank my coach. You know, I told you we would make it. I like to thank Old Man Wade. You know, I love you, man.
I'm ending the fucking show. Valkyrie, do you have anything? Valkyrie, do you have anything for us?
No.
You don't. No comments.
Nope.
Nothing for the people.
Nope.
No happy Halloween.
Stay sleazy.
Damn it, Wade.